Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are continuing our study of Psalm 84. If you were with us yesterday, I quoted something that was said by James Boyce. And before I read that, let me just back up and give you a sense of the beauty of this psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Now, this was an amazing psalm we've looked at, because what he's describing here is the worship of the Lord. How delightful, how splendid, how exciting, how blessed they were to come before the Lord and worship. And this psalm is sort of a rebuke to those who think that worship is some kind of chore, or even that Old Testament worship was full of laws and more laws and all of these sacrifices to take the joy out of what they were doing. It was always the most splendid, the most beautiful, the most blessed thing to be able to come and to worship the Lord. And so, you know, we've contrasted that today with the mentality that people don't even understand why they need to come to worship or what's happening in worship. And that's where we left off yesterday. James Boyce said something that is worth quoting. I asked the question, what happens in worship? He says this: there is something to be experienced of God in church that is not quite so easily experienced elsewhere. Otherwise, why have churches? If it's only instruction we need, get it by a tape or book. If it's only fellowship, have a home gathering, a study. There's something to be said for the sheer physical singing of the hymns, the sitting in pews, the actual looking to the pulpit and gazing on the Bible as it is expounded, tasting the sacrament in the very atmosphere of the place set apart for the worship of God, that is spiritually beneficial. We've lost that today. In fact, you know, yesterday I said that the pattern of Old Testament worship was morning and evening, and the New Testament church, always from the beginning, understood they gathered on morning and evening to worship the Lord on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. This is what the New Testament church did, and we're seeing the wholesale abandonment of that today. And what that says speaks volumes of the spirituality of the people and of the church today. We don't understand the value of worship. This is where God condescends to meet with his people. This is where the Lord comes down to wash his people and to give them grace. That was always the understanding. It's never ultimately about what we are offering up to God. Remember? This is what Peter struggled with when Jesus washed his feet. You'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. It's not about what you're doing for Jesus. This is about what Jesus has come down to give and to bless and wash you with. This is where gospel's announced. How will they hear without a preacher? This is how we hear that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose for our justification. Through the servant, God has specifically set apart and ordained to preach the word in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Not everyone has that gift. This is the place God gives real strength for the journey, to be assured of his love, to be lights in this dark world. And here is where the psalm is overwhelming to ponder. You see what the psalmist says? Look at verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. It's overwhelming. I'm imagining at the tabernacle, at the top of the tent, a little sparrow laying her nest and having her young there. The psalmist must have seen that. A sparrow and a swallow. And he's thinking about the Sabbath. But the sparrow gets to fly right up there anytime he wants. once. I believe as the psalmist was observing this, he realized something. He realized something about worship. He realized something about the truth of it all. He realized something about the goodness of God, about his own need. Do you know that sparrows are almost totally worthless birds? What does Jesus say about them? He doesn't even let a sparrow fall to the ground apart from his will. A swallow is a restless bird. It's interesting to think about who wrote this psalm. It was the sons of Korah. They were specifically appointed to be doorkeepers in the Lord's house. They were like the janitors. Their role was not glorious. They had little esteem in their lives compared to the other Levites. Think about what the janitors of the Lord's house are singing. You give a sparrow a place to come before you. And the psalmist is overwhelmed to think that the maker of heaven and earth's eyes, a little life, was of inestimable value to the Lord. Even that he would consider the janitors. I don't know how much this overwhelms you, but here's the heart of it. God considers the nothings of this world. God takes delight in the nobodies. And that is what has overwhelmed him about this God. And you see the simple childlike faith here from the janitors, the sons of Korah. These nobodies are moved that God would care about them, that the holy maker of heaven and earth would love them. And they fainted because they wanted to be near him, and God would actually give them a place to come. While the great men of this world, the mighty men, the great men, the kings, the rich men, the commanders, were all caught up in their own pleasures, here the little people had a place before the throne to worship. And you see, this just shows the kind of heart the Lord is after. He doesn't need our worship. We know he hates outward ceremony devoid of a new heart. He doesn't need our worship, but you see, we need him. And God has set up a place for the needy to be strengthened, to receive grace. God says this is where he gives grace and glory and blessing. That's what he says here. Blessed are they who dwell in your house. The whole thing describes at this point in vivid contrast how hard life is in this world. How hard life is in this world. Can you imagine facing the sorrows of this world alone? You know, I've been to hospitals and I'll minister to believers, but then I'll see next to me, in the bed next to me, somebody dying who's a non-believer. And I've seen those who I know in their lifetime were great and powerful and rich and mighty and had everything under the sun, and yet in their impending death, weep and mourn with no hope. It's an awful thing to see. An awful thing to see, to go to your death without hope and without God. Here's where we see what happens to those who treasure the Lord in this life this way. You know what the psalm now describes? It describes what happens to someone who has their thirst satisfied by Christ. Lo and behold, it's a life of blessing. Listen to verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So did you get that? The sons of Korah say, we really want to be in your house worshiping you, but we're not home yet. We're set on pilgrimage. We're passing through the Valley of Baca. You know what the Valley of Baca is? It's the Valley of Weeping. It's the Valley of Tears. South of Jerusalem is this valley. It's hot. It brings to mind the thought of hell. That is life under the sun. Sin has brought so much pain, curse, sorrow, and death. And now you understand the real power of this psalm. It's as if he's saying, I go to the Lord's house every Sunday. I experience spiritual satisfaction and blessing, delighting myself in the Lord. And there's nothing like it. I don't want to leave it, but I have to go back into the world during the week, and at times the burdens of it are unbearable. I see things, I feel things. At times I don't know if I can continue. I feel like giving up. I long to experience forever what I get every time I come to worship with God's people. So he's describing the blessings from coming out of God's presence that sustain us during our weeks. And now listen to verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They know they're going somewhere. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools. That is what God does in the life of those whom he has saved. There's something about them. They are like water in a dry, barren desert that makes things green. The Lord's people are highlighted as those who are a light to those in darkness. They water the earth with hope. In the valley of tears, they go from strength to strength until they finally appear before the face of God. Their heart is set on pilgrimage, God giving them strength. I know many of you feel alone. Many of you feel depressed. Do you see the life presented here? The Old Testament says, strength to strength. We're going from strength to strength to more strength. New Testament adds, we've received grace for grace. Better yet, grace upon grace. That's the experience of the Christian life in the valley of tears. Strength upon strength, grace upon grace, heaped up upon us, glory to glory, until we finally meet the Savior face to face. Now, this is the life that really matters, isn't it? This is the fulfilled life. And it's as if the psalmist invites all of those who are hearing this to this life too. He says in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look on the face of your anointed. Who is that? Do you understand this? Who sits at the right hand? It's his anointed. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when your face is turned upon him, when you look upon your son Jesus, we know that at that right hand are pleasures evermore. When you look upon him, Father, when you delight yourself in him, we know these blessings come. Give us this kind of life of faith. It was Christ who lived this way for us. And as we go forward, we understand that all of these blessings come to us from him, mediated through him. What should we do if we don't have this kind of life? Pray. Look upon the face of Jesus, O Lord. Give us the kind of desire to love you, to worship you, for we would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of our God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.